What's up, good people, or bad? You are now listening to Mommy's Not Here, and I'm Bae. I'm having a hard time right now. I'm gonna be honest with you because I'm debating if whether or not this should be my last episode. I know. I've been getting it from every angle in my life right now, with people wanting me to keep this going. I mean, after all, the purpose of this was to be a venting session, and Lord knows I got a lot of shit to vent about now, but I feel like I'm in an impossible situation right now. And it's not that I don't mind sharing. I've always been an open person, whether positive or negative. I've never really cared what people had to say about me, what they think, if I'm being judged or criticized. I'm okay with it because my motto is bad press is good press, right? And I never claim to be perfect, nor do I want to be. But I just feel like, okay, I'm going to be honest. I just feel like I low-key started this podcast because I wanted to make something of myself. You know, I wanted to be an artist, a writer, an author, a motivational speaker, a podcaster. I just wanted to put my stamp on this world as someone, you know, and I spent a lot of time feeling like I didn't quite measure up, and I got tired of feeling like nothing. So instead of complaining, I decided to do something about it, and thus began this podcast. And but then a lot of shit happened since we spoke last, like a lot of shit. And I feel like it wouldn't be right to just up and leave without an explanation. So I wanted to kind of explain my perspective on things right now. People who know me personally, they know what's going on, but I imagine my listeners, they have no idea. So I'm going to be honest with you because I've been honest this far and I'm going to keep it going. On April 29th, my husband, Carl, and Jones, and the girl took our dogs, Bagel, and our new dog, Lucky, who I recently told you about, took them out for a walk. During the walk, they decided to cross a busy street for whatever reason. Out of all the ways you could have gone to walk the dogs, Carl wanted to cross this busy street. And as they were crossing, coming back home, my little girl got hit by a car. No, true story, honestly. She got hit by a car and she's alive. She just has a broken leg, some pretty bad cuts and bruises, and she chipped her front tooth. I'm sorry. To be able to tell you this, I have to visualize it and go back to that day, and I'm seeing every minute of it. No, I didn't see the accident. I was in the house. But when she got hit, my husband picked her up and ran her home. And when she walked through the door, she didn't walk through the door when he carried her. through the door. Jones came first, screaming. We're lucky that the girl got hit by a car. The girl got hit by a car! That's how he said it. And I thought he was joking. You know, they like to fuck. We like to fuck with each other, you know. So it wasn't until a car came in with the girl and just covered in blood, my baby. Like, it was just so much blood just pouring out of her head because she has, like, she had this deep gash in the middle of her forehead that you couldn't recognize anything but her eyes. And she wore this bright yellow dress, bright yellow Pikachu dress, and the whole front of it was just red. And I screamed, like, what the hell happened? What happened? And Carl said, the car just wouldn't fucking stop. So I said, did you call the cops? And he said, no, I left my phone here. So I quickly grabbed my phone and I dialed 911, but like 911, it wasn't working, guys. 911 is different these days. Back in the day, you dial 911, it barely even rings before you hear someone ask you, what's your emergency? It was like a call, and it was like a long pause, like a pause. So I thought it wasn't working, so I would hang up, call it again, hang up, call it again, and I just got scared because I'm like, I don't know if she doesn't have a lot of time and 911 isn't working. So I said, fuck it, let's just drive her to the hospital because there's a hospital down the street from where we live. So Carl scoops her up and put her in the back of the car. Now, mind you, the whole time, the girl is saying nothing. She's so quiet. She's so still. All you hear is her trying to breathe. It's like, so in my mind, I'm like, my baby's about to die. She's going to die. So we put her in the car and Carl goes, I forgot my keys in the bag. So he goes back, runs back in the house. And I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, she might not have much time. My baby's going to die. And just thinking that, like, she was in the backseat of the car. Jones is in the backseat of the car. And I was about to get in a passenger side, but I just fell to the floor in my carport. And I was like, please, God, don't let my baby die. Please. And I called. And I just thought, let me just call one more time. So I dialed 911, and finally I got through. And I was so frantic by this point that I was trying to say, my daughter got hit by a car. She has a respiratory disability. She has so much blood coming out. She's breathing funny. I don't think she's going to make it. Can you please send someone? But the fucking 911 was not understanding what I was saying because by this point I was hyperventilating and frantic. And my neighbor happened to be outside and she came across the street and she's like, tell me, you got to calm down. You got to speak so they can understand what you need. And I was like, okay. So I calmed down and I said what I needed to say. And they said, don't move. Someone will be right there. And they asked me what happened. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. My husband was with her. Let me go put him on the phone. So Carl took the girl out of the car and put her back on my couch again. I know we should move her. But she got moved a lot. And he got on the phone and explained what happened. And I'm next to her and I'm like, baby, please just stay with me. It's going to be okay. Mama's right here. Mommy's right here. Okay. You're going to be fine. And the whole time Jones is out on the yard, just he's ballistic. He's just screaming to the neighbors. Is she going to die? Is she going to die? Please don't let her die. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And hearing him, I called my sister. I called Rachel and I was like, Rachel, I need you to come home. The girl got hit by a car. The ambulance is on its way, and I need you to come stay with Jones. She's like, what? What are you talking about? What's going on? Are you playing with me? I was like, I don't have time for you to answer your fucking questions. Just come home, please. And I hang up. And I'm just like, I can't believe my eyes, y'all. I can't believe my eyes. It's just so much blood coming out that it's like the air felt different. And I just felt like my baby not going to make it, y'all. Felt like she wasn't going to make it. And the ambulance came. And they cut her dress and they whisked her away. And I got to go with her. And in the ambulance, they're like, listen, we just need to keep her awake until we get to the hospital. And I was like, okay. But she kept trying to close her eyes. She kept trying to close her eyes. And they was trying everything to keep her awake. And I was trying everything to keep her awake. I'm like, do you want to watch YouTube? So I put on YouTube for her. And it's kind of weird just holding my phone, having her look at YouTube while I'm looking at her and just seeing more and more blood. Like, they didn't cover up. They didn't, like, plug the hole. They didn't do anything to her. They just took her to the hospital. They didn't do anything but, like, check her blood pressure and stuff and take her. Because only one person in an ambulance was familiar with her disability, Pierre-Robin syndrome. So they just felt it was best to just get her to the hospital and let them take it. But she stayed awake. It was hard. She closed her eyes 100 times. But every time she closed her eyes, I would like snap or lightly touch her or just scream or whatever I had to do to just get her to open her eyes. We get to the hospital and everything happened kind of fast. They assessed her, did x-rays and determined that, you know, she has a broken leg and, but there was no internal bleeding. That was the main thing. It took us hours to get that, but the main thing was no internal bleeding because that was my biggest fear. And, Carl came to the hospital. Jones is at the hospital. And I got a chance to ask, like, yo, what happened? Because at the time, I still didn't know. I didn't know. And Carl said that they crossed the street, this busy street. It was around 8:15 p.m. So it was dusk. Like, it wasn't necessarily light, but it wasn't necessarily dark. It's like the last few seconds of light. And they were crossing the street to come back. He didn't see any cars when he first stepped into the street. They got halfway across past the yellow lines and there was a car coming straight at them, but the car was a little ways away. So he felt they had time. He noticed that the car wasn't slowing down or stopping. So he told them to run. And Jones made it safely across the street. Then the girl was kind of right behind him. And he was right behind her. And the car just didn't see them. Hit the girl right in front of him. And kept going. So he thought, and he screamed, stop. And when it hit her, she flew up and skated forehead first on the pavement. And he just scooped her up and ran her home. He didn't even stop to see if the car stopped or stay on the scene. He just took her home because he didn't have his phone and he was scared that she was going to die, rightfully so. So, a cop came with us because when the ambulance came, the cops came and one cop came with us to the hospital, I guess, to be a point of contact. And we didn't know this until the cop informed us, but the driver actually stopped when the driver heard him scream. And when the driver got out of the car, nobody was there. So they thought that they had a dog because the dogs was with them. And it wasn't until the police notified them that, no, you actually hit a child. And now we have an attorney. I can't really go into details with how things are going with that and the identification of the driver or the car or anything like that. Not while there's an ongoing investigation, but like we're definitely like suing, rightfully so. But I don't want to get in too many details with that. But the good news is my baby's alive. She's alive. She was able to come home the next day with the cast. Bad news is now she's in a wheelchair for the next 5 weeks. And if that wasn't a lot to deal with in itself, a week before that, Carl's truck was repossessed because he wasn't making the payments. So that was a lot. So his truck got taken. A girl got hit by a car. And then the following week after that, I was supposed to have my first ever book fair where I was going to like fully introduce my books to the world and really try to, you know, sell some copies. But I had to cancel. I was supposed to do an open mic. Not for fun, like actually do it for an event that had to get canceled. And it just seemed like things were just going to shit, if I'm being honest with y'all. My girl couldn't go back to school for the rest of the year. It's only a month, so it's not too bad because her school can't accommodate wheelchairs. So now she has to be homeschooled. So it's been really hard because, you know, when Carl's car got repossessed, the plan was like, you need to find a job and go back to work because I know you're trying to do your business. And I know that you have clientele, but it hasn't been doing that well for a while. And right now we need you to provide for this family. But then my baby got hit and now she's home and I work during the day and now he can't go to work because who's going to stay home with the girl? And it's really frustrating because it's really hard for me to try to make these ends meet on my own. Like, our bills are just too much for just like me to do on my own. And also it's the fact that like we needed another car. We needed another car because it was fine for us to share my car, but like he had to drop me off at work. Well, we had to drop the kids off at school to drop me off at work and pick the kids up from school, then pick me up from work. And I work in a different state from where I live. And that was fine at first. But now with my baby, with the broken leg, it was really difficult lugging her in the car and all these trips. Like she needs to be still so she can heal. So what about maybe a week ago? Literally a week after the accident, we went to the dealership and I had to buy another car for Carl. Like, because it was just too much for the kids to be lugging around like that. And I have a small sedan and we needed something bigger. So I had to get Carl a minivan, even though he didn't want a minivan. But listen, you don't get to fucking decide what you want right now. this is what our family needs. So we got a new car against my better judgment, against what I know I can afford or not afford, with the hopes that like car either gets a night job or find a really good paying job. Like I'm operating on faith right now, because to be honest, I quit. I know I'm telling too much of my business, and I don't care what you got to say about me or the decisions that I make, but like, you're not in my shoes. You're not in my body. You're not in my mind. You don't know how I feel. And it's just a lot happening at the same time right now. Because with Carl in the car, with my girl getting hurt, with me missing out on these opportunities that I worked really hard to even get to this point, I also found out that I've been diagnosed with two types of scoliosis, dextroscoliosis on my upper spine and levoscoliosis on my lower spine, which explains the constant excruciating back pain. And I was talking to an ortho doctor about, you know, physical therapies and medicines, but I'm heading towards the moderate to severe lane, where if the therapies doesn't give me relief, then in a month or so, we might have to talk about possible spinal surgery. And hearing that, not that that's the first step, but hearing that it might be possible that I need spinal surgery after having to buy yet another car for my family that I didn't want to do, that goes against my better financial judgment, after my daughter getting hit by a car, after seeing the blood, after having to see her in a wheelchair and being triggered from when my mom was in a wheelchair, and just losing out on opportunities to like really put my name out there. Like that's all I wanted, yo. All I wanted was to like make my mark, because I have this theory that like my mom died because of me, right? We were in a car accident. I told y'all this. I was driving. My mom was a teenage mom, so she died on her 36th birthday, right? I'm 35. And I always felt like my karma is going to come on my 36th year or 35th. You know, like I have this weird idea that history is going to repeat itself. Like my life is not going to be exactly like my mom's, but what if my end is similar to hers? And the way I saw it, I felt like this might be my last year. And if that's the case, I don't want to not do nothing with my life. So yeah, I published my book that I was sitting on for 3 years. Yeah, I've been working on a push to publish my poetry book. Yeah, I started a podcast. Yeah, I do open mics now. Regardless if I look like I have no neck and I'm super short and I gain a lot of weight and I don't think I'm pretty, and the worst thing in the world is for me to be on stage where everybody could look at me and my flaws is on the spotlight on display. But if this is my last year, let me give it all I fucking got. So at least somebody will remember me aside from my kids, you know? Like, it's a lot of things about my mom that I remember, but it's so many things that I don't, like the sound of her voice or the way that she smelled or the way that she thought or the way that she acted. It's a lot of things that I forgot, and I just did not want to be forgotten. Like, that's always been my favorite quote. Heroes get remembered, but legends never die. And ever since I heard that, I knew I wanted to be legendary, but I've done nothing up to this point to even consider myself worthy of something like that. And I know this podcast, and people I don't get a lot of listens. It's not worldwide. It's not trending, but it's something. It's out there. Like somebody has heard my voice that I've never met face to face. And I felt like if I kept it up, I was going somewhere, you know? And then it just seems like my karma came back to bite me in the ass. It's like, life cell, you really thought you was going to be somebody? Nah, bitch. But instead of coming for you, I'm going to come for everybody that you love. And my daughter got hurt. So I said, fuck it, I quit. Like, I quit wanting to be remembered. I quit wanting to make a name for myself. I quit wanting to be a best-selling author. I quit it all. I just want my kids to live. And if this is what it takes, I don't want it. I don't want it. Like, you could say what you want about me. It's probably true. It's probably true. I'm not shit. I'm not shit. I'm not worthy. I'm not funny. I'm not pretty. I'm deformed, like literally fucking deformed. I'm not talented. So you can say all that. I don't care. But seeing what I saw these past few weeks, feeling the way I felt this past few weeks, I realized all those things that I thought I wanted oh so bad means nothing compared to my children. And so with that idea, I feel like maybe I should quit this podcast. If not quit, take a little break. Definitely need to, at the very least, take a little break, even though, thanks to Rachel pointing out and some of my friends, now would be the time to record because you have so much to vent about, because so much is going on. Like, it's all about the drama and the crazy and what fucking else could have happened. Well, it would be crazy. Remember when I told you in the beginning, there is always something in this house, but I never imagined that this would be the something. The girl getting hit by a car, like, are you fucking serious? Carl's truck getting repo. Now, come on. Now. Okay. That's not very surprising. If we're going to be all the way honest, this is his second repo in 2 years. And you wonder why I didn't want to get him another car. I'm still shady. I'm sorry. But like, I have to do what I have to do for my family. Like, it's not for him. And I'm going to be honest, our relationship right now is not good at all. I don't think it's his fault. And I know it sounds like I do. I kind of think it's his fault. I don't think it's his fault. I do think it's his fault. I am confusing you. I am confused my goddamn self. I only think it's his fault because there's so many other ways you could have went to walk the dog. Why did you go that way? Why would you cross a busy street with two slow ass fucking kids and two dogs? Why? But I don't think it's his fault, because if you didn't see any cars on the road when you crossed the street, you shouldn't worry about getting hit by a car because you checked before you crossed. That car. Nope. Mm-mm. Can't talk about it. See, in this, like, moments like this, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't quit, because I'm sure people are going to want to follow up. Like, once the investigation's over, people are going to want to know, did you win the case? Did you lose the case? Like, what's going on? But one thing I can tell you is we did get the police report. And when I tell you everything's gone to shit, it's because it is. The police report has put my daughter at fault. They think she's at fault for getting hit by the car because my daughter, a 7-year-old, failed to yield the right of way to a vehicle who came out of nowhere. This is why I'm like, I need to take a break. I need to take a break because I don't have a mind anymore. I am at my wit's fucking end, and I really can't take nothing else. I can't take nothing else right now. This is me at my lowest. That, like, you, I'm going to be so honest with y'all. I'm not pretending. This is me low. This ain't about no damn Rachel. This is not about the boys. This is just about me and Carl as parents, my family. Like, I am at my wit's end, and I feel like I am failing. Like, I've done everything wrong, and it's crazy because I'm a nanny and I take such good care of the kids that I care for, and I couldn't keep my daughter safe. You can't feel no lower than that. I'm sorry. I create this book called Just Keep Going. That's the name of my book, y'all. Just Keep Going. Like, and now it's available everywhere. A children's motivational story about perseverance. And here I am thinking about quitting. I'm a failure. I'm a fraud. I'm a fake. And I'm nothing. And the thing is, what I didn't realize is that I was always meant to be nothing. And the simple fact that I tried is, it's a joke. It's laughable. Like, the universe is like, bitch, you really thought you was going to be somebody. You were designed to be nothing. And I feel like it's my fault for going against what I know I am. I know I'm nothing. And I still tried anyway. And that shit came back to bite me in the ass. So, yeah. I fucking quit. Life, you win. You win, you win, you win, you win, you win. Because I can't lose anymore. So I'm done playing. I can't lose anymore. And I thought I was broken before. And I'm sitting here recording, doing this podcast where I'm constantly crying wolf, crying hurt, crying broken. That ain't shit compared to how I feel right now. It's not shit compared to how I feel right now. I don't care. I don't care. I'm not thoughtful anymore with my words. I'm not careful with how people feel. I could give a flying fuck right now how anybody feels about anything, because nobody could possibly feel worse than the way I feel. And this is why maybe I do need to take a break, because I'm not going to be them type of people that hurt people. And I don't want to hurt nobody, but I'm not going to spare nobody's feelings when I say that I am not okay. I am not okay. I'm not going to smile for you because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I'm not going to pretend to be good because I don't want people to feel sorry for me. You can feel sorry for me. The way you feel is not going to change what I'm going through. So feel however the fuck you want to feel about me. Go ahead. I don't care. I think the part that's hurting me the most is that I really thought I was onto something. I really thought people would love my book. And the crazy thing, now was supposed to be the time where I debuted that my book is available everywhere. Amazon, Target, Walmart, you know, Barnes and Noble. Like, this is supposed to be the time where I'm putting the bug in your ear. Like, this is supposed to be the time where I'm getting on my, you remember I told you I had a business partner, like, really jumping down his neck to push, to publish more books, to really push. And all these ideas that I have in my head that I wanted to come to fruition, that I wanted to see because I know it would be dope. All of that shit is gone. It has to go. And one fell swoop, because of one damn dog walk, it's all gone. I bet my mom is so ashamed of me. She's probably embarrassed. Don't be, mom. I'm embarrassed of myself. It's okay. I'm sorry. I'm talking your head off, I know. Venting. Venting session. That's what it was supposed to be. But I just wanted to keep it real with y'all and let y'all know what was going on. My baby's home. She's in a wheelchair. Carl got his minivan. Not really selling any books or anything like that. All that stopped. I'm working. The kids are still in school. But Carl has been going on interviews. There's this prospect that seems promising. And if he does get that job, we're in a very tricky situation, because that job is during the day and I work during the day. And Somebody got to be home with the girl. We cannot afford a babysitter or a childcare, and who, at this point, I don't trust nobody with my babies but me. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. I might have to quit my job. Because my body hurts every day anyway. My ankles swell when I stand for more than 5 minutes. And it hurts when I walk, but I just keep pushing. Just keep going. Because I need the money. And I'm tired. I'm breaking down, y'all. I'm tired. I'm tired. And all I want to do is be with my babies, but I want to keep their home. And my son is traumatized because he saw it. He's so triggered. He's scared to cross the street right now. And at 11 years old, he's terrified of streets. Rightfully so. That boy needs therapy. Jones needs therapy. Everybody's been going through it, y'all. Everybody. And in a weird twist of events, yeah, Rachel's about to start working from home, virtually, doing what she does in like a week or so. So, I don't know. Ideally, yeah, she could stay with the girl and we both could go to work and be a three-income household again, and the money problems would be a thing of the past. But, like, let's be honest. Do we really think Rachel's going to watch the girl? She going to be doing her work from her man's house. Like, come on, let's be for real. But maybe she'll surprise us. I don't know. Maybe I'll come back and update y'all with how things pan out. I don't know. But we were developing such a nice relationship. And I was really starting to feel you. So I wanted to let you know the real. And if you don't hear from me for a while, I wanted you to know why. And if you're a believer, pray for me because I need it. But hopefully I've left some type of imprint where if I do decide to come back, you'd be ready to listen. But if not, I just want to say thank you for just taking the time to get to know me. And hearing me out. It really did mean a lot to me. But I'm gonna get out of here and yeah, I'm gonna get out of here. So take care of yourself, please. Please. Please, please, please. I don't want you to experience anything that I'm experiencing right now. Because believe it or not, I care about you. And if I can't be good, I at least want you to be good. So do me a favor and be good. Till next time, my good people.